This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, flip the lights on and off to tell language it's time to call it a night. Content note: this episode contains frank language pertaining to sex and associated body parts, because it is a follow-up to episode 51, Under the Covers Part 2, the one where we were discussing the inadequacy of the lexicon for sex and genitals, genitals being an example of a problematic word, as, etymologically, it pertains to procreation, which is not what all of us are using those body parts for, and not everybody uses them for sex either. It's tricky territory. Maybe tricky territory would serve as a synonym for genitals? Anyway, the episode received a particularly strong response from trans and gender non-binary listeners. You wrote to tell me about some of the ways in which you've contended with this vocabulary, whole dimensions of which I, as a cis woman, was utterly ignorant. So I'm very grateful to you for illuminating me, and a few of you appear in this episode, which is all about trans people's experiences of this particular linguistic matter. Important to specify, it's the experiences of some trans people. It's not meant to imply a universal trans experience. Also, the vocabulary is evolving and expanding rapidly. So this episode is just a reflection of where it is at the moment in May 2017. Lastly, I have to preface this by saying I do not believe that gender identity is conferred by body parts. All right, on with the show.
Hello, my name is Lee. I'm a genderqueer, trans, masculine, gay guy, and it's time for me to talk to Helen Zaltzman about my genitals. So there's actually a lot of different contexts in which genitals come up, and there's different language for each of them. For me, as someone who was assigned female at birth, has a vagina, has a uterus, but mostly passes as male, there's a lot of different things that go into what I'm choosing to call my genitals.
I sometimes refer to my genitalia as anachronistic, which seems to fit perfectly. I have a friend who refers to my genitalia as the factory installed equipment.
My name is Matty, and I am both transgender and asexual. And both these things influence how I relate to my body and the words that I use for it. Asexuality means different things to different people. For me, it means a sexual orientation that refers to little to no sexual attraction to people of any gender. Transgender means that my gender and the body that I was born with don't quite align, and gender dysphoria is the discomfort I feel because of that disconnect.
So I want to start off by saying that I am not an example for every single trans person. Every trans person's different. Some of them are perfectly fine when it comes to labeling their junk with the clinical terms. Others, like me, have a problem connecting with that area, so they use labels that they make up in order to help disassociate themselves from that area, in order to alleviate dysphoria.
I find that the words used for my own genitals impacts how dysphoric I feel, so I'm more uncomfortable with words that are more vulgar or euphemistic, like cock or balls, but I'm better with, I suppose, more medical words, like penis. Maybe because those words feel a little more impersonal, since I can't personally relate to any of the words associated with my genitals.
I'm a non-binary person, and I didn't have the vocab to explain that. And I knew I wasn't a man, and I knew I wasn't a woman, but I just thought I was crap at being a woman. But no, I was just non-binary. I was genderqueer. So yeah, my boobs are non-binary boobs. Deal with it.
The general vaginal area is simply the front hole. Vagina is front hole. Asshole is back hole. The clit is the dick or the bio dick. And the packers or STPs, if you don't know what a packer or STP is, just think of it as a flaccid dildo. You know, it's just something to stick in your pants and give the illusion of a bulge. I call those my peens, P-E-E-N.
in a lot of contexts, I actually do end up defaulting to vagina. Some of that is my, you know, good feminism saying, you know, we call the things what they are, although many people I know object to me using vagina instead of vulva, but I can't get behind vulva.
This is Rebecca Kling. I am a performance artist, an educator, a writer, and a transgender woman. Speaking for myself, I didn't have a problem calling my genitalia a penis or a cock or a dick before I had surgery. That said, I've heard people call it a clit or a super clit. I've heard people call it a click, a combination of clit and dick. I've heard people use other language like hammer, which I thought was pretty great, or fun stick. I've heard garden or flower, button or hotspot. And if everything else fails, you can either pick names. So what name is going to make you feel good about your genitalia? Or at the sort of most directly descriptive, this, that, here, there. Grab your partner's hand. I want you to touch me here. I don't like it when you touch me there. And I think part of the excitement there is being able to decide what language is going to make you feel good about yourself. Similarly, now that I have had gender reassignment surgery, so I do have a vagina, I like words like vagina or pussy or cunt because they feel right and they feel okay to me.
My name is Owl. I'm an Icelandic trans person who now lives in the UK. I identify as a non-binary trans person and I use the pronoun they. Before I came out, I didn't really, you know, want to speak about my genitals or my body at all in many ways, because I felt I wasn't comfortable with my body in many ways. But I feel like after I started hormones, or after I, you know, had genital surgery, I became much more comfortable with my own body, because I was basically hiding it away all the time anyway. But I feel like now I sort of don't have to hide it away. But I feel like it's not necessarily because I became this super confident person. I also feel like it's because my body was just completely objectified as I went through the medical process. And I remember being in the hospital after my genital surgery, and every time the doctor came every morning, he brought about two or three different sort of students who were studying medicine or becoming doctors, and he asked if it was okay if they took a look as well. So about 30 or 40 people at that hospital saw my pussy. You know, I just became a bit detached from it. And today I'm not very shy at all. I don't care as much. I can speak about my pussy, my vagina, and I'm not shy to say these words because I sort of feel like my body now conforms to how I want to be, you know. And the ways it's changed is that I talk about my genitals now, as before I never actually talked about them at all.
You would not believe how much you end up talking about genitals with little kids. It's an interesting thing being a genderqueer parent and talking about how some boys have vaginas, most boys have penises, most girls have vaginas, but some girls have penises. Things like that, trying to divorce anatomy from identity for the next generation.
Language around trans bodies is difficult for a couple of reasons. First, it's because a lot of the time, people who are asking trans folks about their bodies have this assumption that they're allowed to ask whatever they want. What's between your legs? Have you had the surgery? How's dating like? How do you have sex? All of these questions that we would never ask someone that we just met or that we just learned something about their identity. On the other hand, there's need-to-know situations. My doctor probably needs to know a lot about my medical history and my body, but the barista at a coffee shop doesn't need to know.
When it comes to going to the doctors, I do refer to those areas as their clinical names. If I used my nicknames, that would just confuse the doctors. But the difference is that I use the instead of my. So an example is I just use the clit instead of my clit. And that's to just help disassociate myself.
When it comes to sexy times, there's not a lot of good language right now.
I guess I generally try to go for neutral words. I'm like whole, unlike front hole, back hole.
There's a lot of fun creative language used in some erotica, or in just talking about things, especially for guys who are really uncomfortable talking about themselves as having vaginas. Front hole, cockpit. A guy messaged me on Scruff the other day and asked me if I was a bonus hole boy, which was his way of trying to sexily ask me if I participated in vaginal intercourse. And that was funny. I hadn't heard that one in a while.
If you're dating a trans person and you plan on having sex with them, it's best to, you know, just talk to them and see what labels they prefer to use. And I've been in relationships where it's like right in the middle of things. They refer to as my front hole as my pussy or my vagina. And that did not go well. I had a full-on dysphoria attack right in the bed, and that was not good. So it is best to sit down with your partner and talk with them. Communication is key.
There's this misconception that asking has to be really awkward and dry. What language are you using for the genitalia that's between your legs? And what language would I appropriately use to discuss that genitalia? No. What language feels sexy? What language feels good? Can I touch you here? What word do you use? What do you call this? There are ways to make talking about sex and talking about the language of sex and bodies fun and part of the experience, and not have to pull out a whiteboard and dry erase markers to start diagramming things out.
I mean, I make them fill out a form. No, just kidding. My name is Andre Perez. I'm a community organizer, filmmaker, mixed race, Puerto Rican, trans masculine person who's kind of genderqueer and also very queer. I love the word cock. My phone, incidentally, does not like the word cock. It always autocorrects it to couch. My phone just thinks that I have a lot of really intense conversations about purchasing couches on the weekend. I'm like, let me see your couch. How big is it? Like, is it hard? Does it feel good?
There's a fair amount of just referring to things as it. Suck it, fuck it, lick it. That sort of non-specificness that works for any sort of part that someone is near, whether it's genitals or not.
I'm pretty good at like redirecting people like, oh, I don't really like that word. I'd really prefer if you use this word. I often will find that men will not be very familiar with trans folks, and so they will be kind of tentative. And actually, I'd say that's maybe something that I look for that's like appealing is I'm like, oh, if you don't know everything to do, that's fine.
It's an evolving language thing, and it's made more complicated by how little language even cisgendered people with vaginas have for their vaginas that aren't like puerile or offensive or combative or medical. So, yeah, we all need to do better.
My name is Lorelei Arises. I'm a newspaper columnist for the Rainbow Times. I write the column Ask a Trans Woman, and I'm the original Miss Trans New England. Language is a living thing, you know? It's not static. It responds, it shapes our world, and it allows us to shape our worlds in turn. So, you know, the words I use to refer to my genitalia are really very genuinely going to shape the reality of that genitalia to a certain extent. It's really exciting. It's a very cutting edge sort of word nursery in the trans community. The words we use for ourselves are changing constantly, and that's changing our ideas about what gender even is, and our ideas about what gender is consequently changing the language and the words we use to describe gender. And given that so many people's genitalia is so tied into our ideas about gender generally and specifically personally, that means that the words we're using to describe our genitalia are in a constant state of flux.
One of the most important lessons from the trans rights movement that I want to spread to the world is that we get to decide what our bodies mean, and we get to decide how our bodies should be used and interact with the world. And what I mean by that is, if certain language doesn't feel right about your body, don't use that language. And for trans folks in particular, there are parts of our bodies, whether it's breasts or vaginas or penises or whatever, that those words carry a lot of weight. The weight of being told you have a vagina or being told you have a penis, and that means something that's gendered, and that means something that's sexualized about what you're supposed to do with that part. Because words are all tied up in how we think about our bodies, and how we think about our bodies is all tied up in the language we use to describe our bodies.
Thanks so much to everyone who contributed to this episode, in alphabetical order: Andre, Lee, Lorelei, Marshall, Matty, Owl, Rebecca, and Cez. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is proem, noun, formal, a preface or preamble to a book or speech. Try using it in an email today. There'll be another episode in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, seek out Allusionist Show on Facebook and Twitter, and visit me at home at theallusionist.org.